It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are hearing the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra's Pontrum Piano Quartet performing the first movement of Brahms Piano Quartet No. 1 in G minor on WPR Music's Midday Classics. That was back in April.
After 58 years of providing music education to youth in South Central Wisconsin, the orchestra now has its own building in Madison. And the new facility allows for more opportunities to reach young people who don't come from musical backgrounds or from families with the means to afford lessons.
Kyle Knox is music director and youth orchestra conductor at the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras. Kyle, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks. Good to be here.
You've called this new facility a building that is unique in the United States. What makes it so special?
Well, I think what you see around town and in various places you could go around the country, there's lots of concert halls, places where we, you know, can do musicals and opera and orchestra performances, things like that, things that are really meant for public consumption, public facing kinds of rooms. But what we don't have lots of in general, and certainly here in town, is like great elite rehearsal space, places that have amazing acoustics and have the unique properties that rehearsals require, meaning the right kind of meet the space needs of large ensembles and small ensembles that are acoustically superior, that have meeting spaces and common spaces for families and communities to get together. So it was really solving that part of the performance problem, not so much the being on stage part. We have lots of great stages. It's really the rehearsal space element that this building was designed around.
This rehearsal space element, capable of holding 100-piece orchestras, from what I understand. These are large spaces. What has that allowed you to do?
Well, the needs of a youth orchestra are kind of very specific, which is, by the way, is one of the reasons why I use the word unique. This building, not a lot of youth orchestras have buildings, because our space needs are dramatic. We have, in WISO's case, we have 5 different orchestras ranging in size from about 60 to over 100. So these are large ensembles, and they need to be in big, cavernous kinds of rooms that have great acoustics, that have a lot of floor area, that have some observation space. But we need a lot of them all at the same time, because the WISO model is that it's sort of a busy beehive. So we're all meeting at once. So you need more than one large room. But then you also need these kinds of breakout rooms where you can have sectionals and master classes and places where you can have like lower student to teacher ratios. And so that combination of things makes, but we only need it, for the whole orchestra experience. It's very busy on the weekends. And then we have other programming that happens during the week, but the large ensemble stuff really happens over a 2-day period. And so it's difficult having space. It's difficult finding space that really meets those very specific demands. And so what this building allows us to do uniquely is it allows us to run our program and to expand and to do new things and to schedule more flexibly based on the needs of our families, to reach new communities, to just continue doing what we do on an excellent level and to imagine new possibilities.
And your building has an instrument repair shop, from what I understand, as well. It has a library. Can you talk a little bit about having these types of elements under one roof?
Sure. Well, the library story is kind of funny. I started in 2018 here. But for decades preceding that, we had all of our entire music collection. If you imagine an orchestra, we have a chamber music program. So we have thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces. If you have a Tchaikovsky symphony, you have like 20 parts that are all in some giant binder, the flute parts, the violin parts, they're bowed, it's all kinds of very specific stuff for endless amounts of chamber music, just shelves and shelves of this stuff. But it was all offsite because we were in the basement of the humanities building at UW, and there was no room to store our large collection. And so it was like offsite at a storage facility. And we literally needed to, I would call the librarian and say, hey, I'd like to look at the Boeings for Tchaikovsky 4th Symphony, whatever. And, he'd get back to me and say, okay, that'll be about 3 days. We had to pay every time we wanted to access the collection,
wow,
just to go and look for things. And, there's a cost element there, but it's mostly just very cumbersome. And, if you show up at
rehearsal.
You had
to make a trek to just.
You had to make a trek. And we had kids show up on a Saturday for orchestra rehearsal. They'd forget their music at home. So you had to have copies. You didn't have them on site. So you'd have to make sure all that stuff was accounted for from the storage. So yeah, needless to say, having all of that stuff in a room upstairs it facilitates our process. And those little details add up to make a much simpler and smoother rehearsal process, especially when you're dealing with young people.
Oh, it must be a whole new world. I mean, just to have these types of amenities.
It is. Yeah. And the instrument repair space, we have a lot of kids at YSO own their own instruments or rent them themselves, and they take lessons and they bring them. But things go wrong even with their own instruments. And sometimes you have to get a wrench out and like sort of turn a pad that holds a key or a key that holds a pad so that it seals a tone hole so that they can play that low E. That kind of stuff does happen in real time, believe it or not, on a Saturday. But we also own lots of instruments. We lend out instruments to our music makers program. A lot of those kids are playing YSO owned string instruments. And for the wind and brass players, there's auxiliary instruments like English horn and alto flute, bass clarinet. Those are instruments that are related to their principal instrument, let's say an oboe or a flute, but different. And younger players tend to not have made that kind of an investment in owning an English horn. So mm-hmm. YSO plays music that includes English horn, so you have to provide one. And so we own instruments, and they get knocked around a little bit, so we have to be able to repair them. So yeah, we can do all that in-house.
You said music makers, and I want to talk about this program that provides instruments and instruction to students regardless of their playing ability. Who gets to participate in this program?
Well, anyone who contacts us is eligible, of course. Really, the idea is it's a hugely subsidized program. So some people pay more than others. But there are many people who pay very little. And the idea really is that that cost cannot be a barrier. I mean, studying music, it's an expensive endeavor. What it requires, in addition to ideally being in some kind of a school program, a band or an orchestra program, is that you have to rent an instrument or own an instrument. You need to have the resources to get private lessons. That's really where the progress is made. A lot of the kids historically, before we took over Music Makers, would show up sort of already ready to go. I mean, we have younger kids, we have older, we have more advanced kids. You know, we have a whole range of different people in our orchestras, our five different orchestras. But that was sort of a common theme, was that people showed up already having found a teacher, already having acquired an instrument, et cetera. And the Music Makers piece is really for the population of people who maybe don't have those things yet. They don't know teachers. Maybe they can't afford those kinds of things in some cases. Mm-hmm. And so Music Makers was really designed as a place where it's sort of a soup to nuts music education. Rather than kids coming to us auditioning into an orchestra, we're actually very often starting kids from their very first lesson. Like, this is how you take the violin out of the case.
Wow.
These are the four strings of the violin. These are, you know, from the beginning, and they get lessons, they get an instrument, they get all their music, they get group classes. And many of those kids make their way auditioning into our orchestras. In fact, this year, I think we have 15 different Music Makers kids who audition into the five YSO orchestras. It's incredible. It's an incredible program. It's run by a fabulous team led by Rhea Hodgson, who's amazing. And it's just a great community of over 100 people who love this program.
It seems like you've also been able to convey that youth symphonies aren't just for kids from privileged backgrounds, and that it's not just for kids coming from privileged families to be able to be part of this.
That's exactly right. And I mean, I think a more fundamental thing could be said on that subject, which is this is kind of a cliche, you know, but music, really, the arts really are for everyone's enrichment. Everyone has access to this stuff in spiritually, I would say, and just the amazing impact that the arts and music can have on a person's life and just the enrichment of their life. That is just true across the board. But to your point, accessing those things is a different thing. You know, you can listen to music on the radio, you can love music, but to actually learn to play music, it works different muscles. It develops your mind in a different kind of way. And that's where that part, being able to access those kinds of experiences, actually making music, is where the privilege has often come in just the way the world is, economically and otherwise.
We're talking with Kyle Knox, music director and youth orchestra conductor at the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras, looking at the new performance space in Madison and the opportunities for area youth. And I'm wondering, do you still have to deal with waiting lists, or are there areas where you still can't fill a need that you're seeing?
Well, certainly in the music makers department, we have a waiting list. That's really mostly, I mean, I guess I could just speak openly about this, but it's mostly just a fundraising issue. Like we have a big budget and we have a fantastic team who raises money to support what we do. And I should also say as an aside that about 30% of, let's say, the typical orchestra student, the kid who auditions into the youth orchestra, about 30% of their total WISO experience is covered by their tuition. The remaining 70%, might be over 70%, is covered by grant writing, through philanthropy, through fundraising, we have an endowment that we draw from. And that's really central to the WISO philosophy, is just keeping this relatively affordable. We've done the math. So for an orchestra kid, it's under $10 an hour to be part of this over the course of the year. So it's that I will just say that as a first move. That said, the Music Makers program, pound for pound, is actually much more expensive because you're, generally speaking, the tuition tends to be much lower, and the services are actually much greater because you're providing lessons and music and an instrument and group classes and all of those kinds of things. So the ratios are actually a little bit more difficult. So we have like really met that challenge from a fundraising standpoint. But in terms of where there's room for growth in every element of what we do at WISO, but in the music makers domain, that really, we could do more, we could reach more people, but it's just a matter of finding a way to generate that kind of philanthropy and that kind of, you know, grant funding that can really support reaching another 100 kids, another 200. I mean, there's lots of people who need the service.
Well, looking at the financial aspect of this, how do you envision the financial sustainability of this space? It's a very large space. You're trying to keep up a huge facility with expanded programs. Is that a challenge?
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge. You try to think 10 steps ahead when you're planning a project like this, and you try to think of every possibility and all the possible costs, but you don't actually fully understand those things until you've lived in the space and walked the hallways and seen what it costs to heat it and to cool it and to keep it clean and to repair, you know, this or that little thing that happened inevitably. And so I'd say we're still trying to figure that out, but our estimations have not been wildly off. Let me put it that way. But it will require a new funding model for WISO. We would never, expect that to come on the backs of our members. That is like that, like I said, that's a core part of the WISO philosophy, is making this relatively inexpensive and available to people. So that just means we need to get more creative in how to generate revenue, if that's rentals, other letting outside groups use the space for different purposes. If it's of course more fundraising, it's probably all of the above, and we're still trying to really figure that out.
I want to ask you about the mental health of the young people you're working with, because we've seen, from KFF, a recent federal survey of teen health, about 1 in 5 youth have symptoms of anxiety or depression. How do you address the mental health piece at your organization, and what are you seeing there?
Most of the kids who I talk to and their parents tell us that this is their favorite part of the week. So being at WISO, I mean, and when you walk these hallways and you sort of see what we do, you can understand why that is. That's a big problem for young people. I have to say, when kids are here, they're hanging out with each other. We take breaks. They're hanging out at the bagel booth. You know, they're at the coffee little kiosk thing that we have over here. They're whatever, chatting. And it reminds me of like how it was when I was a teenager in the 90s. It's just like kids being kids. And then when they're in rehearsal, they're experiencing this ritual of what it means to make music in a large group, to play these great masterpieces that reach them hundreds of years after, very often hundreds of years after they were written, that still reach the minds of these teenagers. I think for a lot of these kids, like, music is an escape from a lot of the hard things in life, whether it be the stress of school or, you know, social difficulties and, you know, online stuff and all those kinds of things that kids these days need to deal with. which are in addition to the things that kids had to deal with 30 years ago. I think WISO's kind of a relief from all of that. Can we solve all those problems? No, but we don't actually see all that much of it, I think, because of the role that WISO and music more broadly plays in their lives. And quite frankly, that's like sort of that's the most important thing that we do, is we provide those kinds of that relief in their lives, that inspiration in their lives, as a counterweight to like what other things ail them.
Kyle, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
That is Kyle Knox, the music director and youth orchestra conductor at Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras. He talked with us about their new facility in Madison and helping young people grow into musicians.